Hello, everybody. This is Claudia here. I'm presenting. I thought I'd do it on an MP3 just for change's sake, and we are supposed to be new media, multimedia types of writers, so I thought I'd follow Kate's lead and produce it in an MP3. The work I've chosen is Le Réprobateur, The Reprover, by François Coulon. I was particularly drawn to this work for a huge number of reasons, and there are actually so many why the comically lateral but resonant, very, very resonant Reprover with its central character Gildas Noblet is worthy of further study. It is just so very, very French, above all in the characterization of Noblet, that it engaged me from the start. It's a sort of Francophone Fawlty Towers Manuel meets Jacques Tati. And just because new media is full of bells and whistles technically, there isn't, I think, any reason that it should not be very human. And this piece is just that, an essay on la condition humaine, a sort of view of why man is so fallible. I think it makes it possible for Noblet to be not only the omniscient narrator, but also a hapless character in his own tale. So you have the two voices, the two points of view all the time as a reader. This is because the authorial voice changes seamlessly in a way that would not, I think, be possible in old media, in print, where, as we so often discuss in our fiction workshops, consistency is very important. The nearly two dozen pages of The Reprover are laid out with several components with which a reader may fully engage, or just pick and choose from photos which then play video when clicked, or from the cartoon type cells and from texts. As you click on photos, one to the other, different texts appear. I should now say something about what The Reprover is. Maybe I should have said that from the outset. It's not really, I think, an English word, reprover. I think we just call it an external conscious or the other in yourself, in your own psyche, your conscience, the person who taps you on the head or raps you on the knuckles when you do something wrong. And such is the character of Gildas Noblet. I think this is very resonant, or at least it was for me, with Terry's fiction of Marlowe with the devil. I think the reprover, as presented in this, is the facet of two personalities within one person. And you could, to some extent, perhaps, could you not see Terry's character in Marlowe the Devil as an alternative facet of his own psyche? There are a number of very technically admirable aspects of the site. One is a magnificent widget, which I must say I would bribe massively to have the source code for. This is a multi-sided magic ball that you click on to reveal new stories. This, I'm quite sure, is something that would only have been possible through collaboration. I know that Coulon is capable technically, but this really does seem pretty cutting edge, to use that hoary old cliche. This seemed to me to be as magical in new media as a kaleidoscope was as a child, and I was truly inspired by the inventiveness in this regard by Coulon and his fellow collaborators. What I particularly like and really engages me continuously is that when you pass your cursor over the text, whether you come to it through the kaleidoscope or just happen on the first frames, alternate versions appear of text that you as reader have the power to accept or reject. Now, I really, really love this. Reader response theory, roll on. Jess Lachetti must have a great deal to say about this. The fact that a reader has the power to choose on the page, of course, it's not a page, it's a website or a freestanding work on your own computer. But the fact that a reader has the authorial input themselves to engage at certain levels with the text, I thought was a very exciting use of new media. And also for authors who are always looking for ways to stretch the writer-reader relationship. I also, given my own personal interest, I speak a number of languages myself, and I love the fact that it is bilingual. The fact that it is in French, I have always taken great interest in translations, whether it was of Dumas or Guy de Maupassant, or anybody. I've always loved to see the latitude that translators think that they should take with the original work in French. And I love the fact that there's a space within which, if you happen to have the languages, you can play around seeing what it says in English and what it says in French. And the bilingual approach, I think, is dual tech, but it is not especially high tech. It is not something that people seeking to do their own work in dual languages or several languages couldn't also adopt. So I thought that was very interesting too. Again, more on the storyline. What I like about the Reprover is that he is so human that he is fallible. He is this elevated conscience who monitors thoughts and actions, and he is meant to represent an agency for the weak-willed or the morally challenged. But beyond that storyline, there is an overarching relational story. And I think it's this bigger story that is enhanced by the choice of new media. If the tale were told in prose, I think the same effect could, of course, be achieved. But the beauty of new media is that it's up to the reader and a sort of assiduity, a sort of application to the piece, that you're rewarded with a greater story by a familiarity with all the 20 pages that the project contains. And this greater story is based on the Reprover's wife, Magalie, and his relationship with the photographer Joel and Joel's wife, Genevieve. And it only becomes clear, as I'm saying, to the reader who returns to the work enough to engage with all the cells and all the subplots available in the vignettes on 20 pages. And it's only through this exploration a reader comes to understand the fallibility of the Reprover and his significant life failures, which turns out to be the grand irony that François Coulon is perhaps seeking to write about. There are some very, very clever narrative touches, I think, within this story, the factions within the story, that you have the Reprovers and the Approvers, self-explanatory, I think, but the Approvers are sort of very silly Charles II type, indulgently over-egged enthusiasts, and their costumes are wonderful. Within the vignettes themselves, there's the victorious Tour de France cyclist who wants a light yellow, not a strong yellow jersey, because he claims that his victory in winning the Tour de France belongs at least to the Reprover, not to him. And then there's a lion who is irreparably carnivorous, who cannot subdue his natural instincts, even with the Reprover's help, and so eats his trainer. The photographer Joel Fricoteau is so lacking in confidence that very early on, depending which cell you come in on, he engages Noblet in the blind faith that his talents as arbiter will help him. But he doesn't understand that there's a negative consequence to the very act of balance that he wants Noblet to engage in on his behalf. And the consequence of this is that Noblet is so successful as a Reprover that he sets France almost ablaze with unrest, both in support and protest at Fricoteau's work, which is a polemic on the state of society. I've dodged around a bit in the same way, I think, that you have to dodge around when you look at the Reprover. But I'd have to say in conclusion, the Reprover embodies so many elements that I would love to see somehow applied to my own fiction and non-fiction work. And yet at the same time, in its storyline and demeanor, it does seem to be very traditionalist. It seems to continue in a solidly French narrative tradition whose path was laid down, in my opinion, a long time ago by Molière, Guy de Maupassant, etc. The only downside, I think, is that unless you know the work well, a haphazard reader could find themselves endlessly repeating the same visited scenes and tire of the work. But I think to counter this, there is a sense of engagement that drives you, the reader who's prepared to put a little more into spending time with the work, to keep exploring the Reprover, just in case there is one more unearthed nugget that you had not previously come across. I find, keep going back just in case you missed a little gem somewhere along the way. All in all, I think this is a delightful work. I find it to be very traditional. I find it to be technically exemplary. His collaboration, obviously, is of a quality that we rarely see in new media to this level. And I love the fact that basically, if you knew nothing about new media, you could still just click on the photos and get the story. And the story is the point, is it not? Thanks for listening, and over to you.